Coming up on The Source, what we can expect to rock San Antonio's political world in 2013. 2012 was a year of big changes and political dogfights. We'll see the results in the next 12 months. Express News columnist Gilbert Garcia shares his insights for the new year. And later, he's San Antonio's marathon champion, owning the world record for the most marathons run in a year.
There are two ways to approach every issue, and you can approach it with the idea that is this going to be tough, or you can do it. I don't care how tough it is. I'm going to do it, and that's all there is to the marathons. I have zero athletic ability, but I just decide I'm going to do it.
Larry Macon defies conventional wisdom about age with his running accomplishments. That's coming up on The Source, but first, the news.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. 2012 is over and done. Now it's just a prologue for 2013. And in San Antonio, you can wager there'll be more political Donnybrooks, brouhahas, shenanigans, and surprises. These aren't just political sideshows to watch and wonder, but these local leaders and their policies have direct impacts on the quality of life in this burg. To peer into the crystal ball of 2013, San Antonio Express News political columnist Gilbert Garcia joins me in the studio.
Well, the big story in San Antonio politics was the emergence of our mayor, Julian Castro, as a national figure. He was asked to give the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention. Now, this coincided with Latinos having a bigger impact in the national election than they'd ever had before, and arguably swinging the election for President Obama. So I think that this we're now seeing what some, and certainly on the Democratic side, are casting as the big hint of that Texas will move purple and eventually blue. And you have Democrats such as Trey Martinez Fisher here locally saying what we're seeing in San Antonio. This is San Antonio is an indicator of what Texas is going to become in the next few years. And that argument's been made for many years, but I think this election offered the most persuasive evidence of that.
So one of the top stories of 2012, the rise of Julian Castro on the national stage. But he, in 2013, he's running for re-election for mayor of San Antonio, right?
That's right. I think he will have an easy time winning re-election. He's dealing with a lot of questions about his future. There are many Democrats who would love to see him run for governor in 2014. He has said repeatedly that that's something he's not interested in doing.
He's mastered answering that question. It's like, no, I'm not interested. All I care about is San Antonio. I'm not even thinking about that right now. He's able to tell you very sincerely, but you and I know for a fact that he's got people on his team who are very active in plotting out the future course for Julian. And so do we press harder? Do we tell them, come on, Julian, you're talking to me. We know that that's not exactly true.
Well, we know he's a very disciplined politician. And I think he's, you know, his message on this is that he's going to be mayor as long as the people of San Antonio will have him, which his term limits would allow him to be mayor until 2017. And, you know, the real question is, does he take a risk? And he's very disciplined, and he's been cautious in how he's plotted his political career. Would he take the big risk of running for governor in 2014 at a time when it's still extremely difficult for a Democrat to win a statewide election? Or does he wait 4 years when some of the momentum that he's got now will have dissipated, but the demographics of the state might be better for him?
So the actual answer to the question for Mayor Julian Castro, are you going to run for office, bigger office later on? Are you going to fulfill the entire term? Would be, I don't know. I mean, he probably doesn't know yet because no one knows. It's going to be it's a very risky proposition, and he's got a lot to lose if he does lose.
He does. It's quite possible that he's just thinking in terms of the mayoral election, and you know, after that's done with in May, you know, maybe he'll reevaluate. I think it's an open question.
Well, in running for mayor, this will be his second reelection. So he'll be going into his third term, first mayor to do that since term limits, right?
Right.
The first time he won reelection, he got like 80% of the vote. So if he doesn't do that well, would that seem like the bloom is off the rose? Or does he have to do that well? Would he have to campaign to try and meet that really high standard?
Yeah, I don't think there's a number or a benchmark, but I just think he doesn't want to be in a competitive race. He doesn't want, you know, some kind of 60-40 electorate. I can't see that happening. I can't see him in a real competitive race.
No big challengers on the horizon?
No, not that I'm aware of. I don't think that's going to happen. The key is just that the perception is that he win easily. And I think the big challenge that he faced in 2012 was the pre-K 4SA initiative, which for a while looked like it might fail. And
the early voting numbers were not good to pre-K for SA. It was only the day of election numbers that pulled it across the finish line. So that was a squeaker.
That was.
But here we are in 2013. We have passed pre-K for SA, so we're going to start seeing some implementation and find out what it is that we voted for.
That's right. It starts in the fall with just two centers. Eventually, it will grow to four pre-K centers around the city, and will ultimately be serving up to 3,700, 2,000 at these four centers, and 1,700 kids at various schools. But we'll get the first hint of that in the next few months. And you know, this is really his legacy achievement. And this is when he does run for higher office, this is what he's going to be talking about.
In 2012, we saw some city hall ethics questions pop up that were blemishes on what's going on at city hall. Is that going to continue in the new year? More investigations?
You know, I think that what we saw with Pat DiGiovanni, who was with the city and is now going to be running Central Partnership, which is a public-private partnership, which was designed to try to streamline the process of growth and development downtown. I think that was a unique situation. I don't know that we'll see anything quite like that, but I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in 2013 with city manager Cheryl Scully. She was obviously has been very close to Pat DiGiovanni. She was somewhat by association was somewhat connected to
she
this.
She really defended him.
She really defended him, and you know, they go back many years. So you know, they're by association that, you know, this affected her, and I know that she was really unhappy with the way this story played out. You know, at the same time, she also was very helpful to the mayor in sort of making the case for pre-K 4SA. She got involved, I think, at his request in the final months and was very helpful in that. But you hear a lot of questions. I mean, this is not something new, but there are a lot of questions about how much longer will she be city manager? You know, what is her future? And I think that's something that we'll want to watch this year.
Another big story, 2012, was Senator Wentworth, no longer a senator, and now replaced by Donna Campbell, Dr. Campbell, who is very much tacking towards the right with the Tea Party. And she's also a fully working doctor in emergency rooms in Houston area. How much on-the-ground stuff did Senator Wentworth do to help San Antonio and help the Hill Country area? Do you think that Donna Campbell is going to be able to do that as well?
I think it's going to be very hard for her. You know, and already you get the sense that San Antonio Republicans are unhappy. There's a lot of talk about Republicans challenging her you know, this next time around. I think she's going to have some serious challenges from within. Lyle Larson's name was one that comes up a lot. And I think there is a concern, one, that she's not experienced and has shown a lack of knowledge on some key issues. I mean, when she had forums with Senator Wentworth and Elizabeth Ames Jones, when you still had a three candidate primary race, she showed whenever the water issues or other critical issues to the state came up, she showed a complete lack of knowledge. There's concern about that, and also the fact that she's not from San Antonio will possibly not be the best advocate for San Antonio.
Other side of that coin could possibly go to Congressman Lloyd Doggett. You know, he's now supposedly a San Antonio congressman, but I'm hearing that people aren't that happy with him representing San Antonio. He's still coming off as an Austin congressman.
You know, well, one thing about Lloyd Doggett that, you know, even his detractors would say is that, I mean, he's he's a tireless worker, and he's continually faced redistricting challenges because the Republicans in the state have tried to use redistricting to get him out of Congress. And whenever he had to go down to the Valley, he built a constituency there. I think he managed in the last year to do it in San Antonio. As to whether he'll be able to keep up with the concerns of San Antonio, we'll see about that. But I think he spent a lot of time here in the last year. And one of the things that's interesting is, getting back to the point you made about Donna Campbell, is that the result of this 2012 election cycle is that we have an unusual number of key elected officials representing San Antonio who are not from San Antonio. We, in District 23, we have
Pete Gallego,
who's a Democrat from Alpine, from West Texas, in a seat that has traditionally been represented by a San Antonio.
You could say that this might be a problem because of the Bexar County Democrats. It still has dysfunction.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, absolutely. That's true. And it was a situation where you had Pete Gallego going up against Ciro Rodriguez, who was, a fixture on the south side, but at the same time,
he could be called damaged goods.
Damaged goods. And he had been, I think there were a lot of people who just felt like it's time for somebody new. And Pete Gallego benefited from that.
And I like Pete, but I like Donna Campbell too. Personally, she's, a very nice person.
Right. But we are in that situation where we do have, between Lloyd Doggett, Donna Campbell, and Pete Gallego, we've got, these are seats that we've usually had San Antonians.
But the thing about Lloyd Doggett that needs to be brought up is that we're still going, redistricting is not over yet in Texas, and he still could be redistricted back into a Travis County only district.
Yeah, and there's so much confusion about that.
Well, so with the redistricting still happening in Texas, that's going to be an ongoing story for 2013. One of these really hard stories to follow. It's difficult to track. I'm glad that's your job, not my job. I'll read what you write. Gilbert Garcia is a San Antonio Express News political columnist. We've been jawing about what to expect in 2013. There's still more ahead on The Source. On New Year's Eve, Larry Macon turned 68 years old. And in 2012, he ran over 150 marathons. How he did it and how he can inspire all of us, coming up, stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Every year, many of us start off with a list of resolutions. Get fit is a perennial for me. But for Larry Macon, he doesn't need a resolution. He's a marathon rock star and a world record holder. And in 2012, he ran more than just a little.
Dave, I ran 157 marathons this year.
These are full 26.2 marathons. And again, the number?
157, and you're right. Every inch of it was there.
And when you say a marathon, these are like organized marathons. These aren't just like, I decided to run 26 miles today. It's like an actual, someone's holding a marathon, and you went to that event.
That's exactly right, dude.
So it's not just running the marathon, but getting to all those marathons. To me, I think that's as big of an accomplishment as laying down all those miles.
You're absolutely right, Dave. It's the logistics of getting there and the craziness of driving all night or flying all night or a combination that makes it more interesting.
You have this amazing, contagious attitude of can do and optimism that's one reason why I really wanted to get you in on the year end or the start of the new year program, is to talk about how to have that brilliant attitude.
Oh, Dave, as you know, there are two ways to approach every issue, and you can approach it with the idea that is this going to be tough, or you can do it. I don't care how tough it is. I'm going to do it, and that's all there is to the marathons. I have zero athletic ability, but I just decide I'm going to do it.
There's no way that you could have zero athletic ability. If you're running four marathons a week, is that how that kind of works out?
A little over three, right.
With your athletic ability, describe your athletic prowess.
It's like zero. It's no prowess at all. The people usually say when they see me running, look at that poor old man. I wonder if he's going to be able to walk across the street. But somehow I'm able to, and I'm able to finish there.
Yeah, that brings up the other point I completely neglected. Not only are you this amazing athletic runner, but technically you're no longer a spring chicken. Is that correct?
Well, as of today, I'm proud to say I'm a 68 year old spring chicken. So I think that still counts.
Late spring. or Indian Summer.
Indian Summer, yeah.
So 68. So happy birthday to you, Larry.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all you do and all the station does. It really is a great service.
Oh, well, we're here to talk about you, buddy.
Okay.
I talk about myself way too much already. We already had the pledge drive. You missed it.
I'm with you.
How does someone become the guy? So you hold the Guinness record for running the most marathons in a year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
How does a guy from San Antonio, you're a lawyer.
Right.
How did that happen?
It happened just because I wanted to and thought I could do it. And so I have so much fun out there meeting people, being outdoors, and making a little personal achievement every once in a while that it just happened. And every place I go, people say, "You're from San Antonio. Boy, I wish I lived there."
But there's a story about the day that you decided to run your first marathon. Tell me that one.
It's sort of an embarrassing story. As Dave already mentioned, I'm a lawyer, and lawyers, as everybody knows, they tend to brag a lot. And so I was with a group of lawyers who every Monday would meet and try to lie each other as to who had the most athletic things. And you know, I played 36 holes of golf. I swam 2 miles. And I hadn't done anything that weekend. So somebody says, "Well, Larry, what'd you do this weekend?" And I glanced over at the Express News, and I said, I trained for a marathon. And they said, "Great, the marathon's in 4 weeks. We'll have a party afterwards." And so the rest is history.
And how long ago was this?
This was, I think, 12 years ago.
That's about like how old I am now. So I know what it's like. You don't have the recovery or the bounce in the step that, so suddenly in 4 weeks' time, decide that you're going to run a marathon and then do it.
I didn't have any choice, Dave.
So you ran that marathon, and how did that dawn on you that now you're going to become the biggest marathon maniac in the world?
It dawned on me. It sort of worked its way up, and it was just so much fun, and the people were so nice. And after 50-some-odd years, I finally found something I could do.
You know, you're right about people being nice, because the people that I have met in my running exploits, nowhere near close to you, they're the most nicest, enthusiastic, helpful. You couldn't meet better people than other folks who at these running events.
That's exactly right, Dave. And there always are people, if somebody gets hurt, people who are trying to run some special time or something, they will stop and help them. You see people who need assistance. There are lines of people just stop and say, "Hey, how can I help you? How can we get this done? Let's do it together." And then there are always words of encouragement. The most common words in a marathon is, "You're looking good." Well, I know that's a total lie because I'm shuffling along like a 98-year-old person, but it's just encouraging. It keeps you going.
Well, you're always surrounded by beautiful women, too, when you run. I've noticed that about you, Larry.
I think it's the pity factor, Dave.
But the other thing about marathoners or runners or the triathlons, these other bikers that we have in South Texas and across the country, is they're always raising money, too, for great causes.
That's exactly right. I think it's a wonderful thing to do.
So here we are at the start of the new year. And do you have any goals, any resolutions?
My goal is to run a lot and have a wonderful time and meet some more interesting people.
So this status quo is keep it going.
Keep it going. You got it, Dave.
And at 68 years old, that's incredible.
You're only as old as you believe you are. I mean, that's Satchel Paige. In my heart of hearts, I think I'm 17, so don't tell anybody.
Well, you're a vegan too, is that correct?
Absolutely. So, well, let me. I've got a confession to make. I fall off the wagon every marathon because I have a glass of chocolate milk. But besides that, I'm pretty good.
No meat.
No meat.
And so, and some people don't think that you can be a vegetarian and be off the animal protein and still be an athlete.
Unfortunately, I disagree with them, and I don't know any better because I've been pounding the pavement for, I think I'm about 26,000 miles I've run these races thus far, and it's still working.
Now, I've interviewed you a couple of times before, and you've never brought up the fact that you were vegan. So you're not a in-your-face evangelical type about it. So why not? Why aren't you you could be a walking commercial for them.
Because I think everybody should do whatever makes them happy, whatever makes them feel good. Being a vegan is wonderful for me, but it may not work for somebody else. And I'm not here to be an evangelist. I'm just here to to be friends and enjoy it during life.
Did you start running first and then become a vegan, or was it the other way around?
No, I've been a vegan for about 35 years.
Wow. Was it a health choice?
No, it was not.
So it was a matter of conscience.
That's exactly right. You know, and like I say, a lot of people, like 98% of the population, disagree with me, but they certainly have the right, and I don't try to convince them otherwise.
And so the health benefits, that's just gravy, so to speak,
That's a bad choice of words, Dave, but yes.
Some people may have started New Year's resolutions to run or be more athletic, and maybe some of them have already fallen off the wagon. What kind of words of encouragement do you have for folks who are thinking about becoming a runner, but they're still kind of grafted onto the couch?
I think there are two things. Throw away your watch and your clock and just have fun. Don't care about how long it takes you to do something. Just go out there and do it. And if you can only go a block, that's fine. Get up there and go a block and go two blocks tomorrow. But don't be intimidated by it. It's there to have fun. It's not some sort of terrible thing to do.
Right, because when you run your marathons, I consider that you're good times. You know, for you, they're better than my marathon times. So you're clocking in, what, like at five something, right?
I've done 28 in December, and the times range from 4:20 to 7:30. So I've been all across the road.
You're used to people. I mean, they're jackrabbits that just zoom, and they're incredible doing 5-minute miles all the way.
Exactly right.
And they're to be admired, but I ain't one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you 100%.
So, I mean, definitely it's going out there and enjoying it, being out there in the beautiful sunshine, just logging the miles and meeting great people and getting that benefit of being outside and turning your life around and having knowing that you're going to be on this planet longer if you take care of yourself.
Dave, you're 100% right, and there's nothing like the feeling. You're never depressed when you finish one of these marathons. You're already exhilarated. Whether you believe in the runner's high or not, you always feel better once you finish one.
Larry Macon, it's always an honor to talk to you, sir, and an inspiration.
Dave, it's a pleasure, and I enjoy your work. Thank you, man.
Have a great year.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye. Larry Macon is the world record holder for the most marathons run in a year. In 2012, he ran 157 marathons. He turned 68 years old on New Year's Eve. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. Wayne Coble is the TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. Paul Flav is in charge of TPR operations. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.